Summer is over, fall is here, but the press continues. This is the 636th Goblet of Pus. It's called Causing Trouble, and is from January 19th, 2013. It was my turn to take weekend call. The one drag in an otherwise great job. But there are upsides. One of the great things about working in hospitals is, by and large, you get to work with great people. So it is usually a pleasure to go to work. There are a few flies in the ointment, some unpleasant people, but they can usually be avoided. And the pathophysiology is always wonderful, an always interesting variety of infectious diseases. The subjects discussed in this podcast are the cases from three hospitals. Weekends, I cover seven hospitals, but there is sure to be some great cross coverage. I need to be a little careful as I am just a cover guy, so I get to go in and kibitz about the case, but on Monday the responsibility will revert to the primary infectious disease doc, and I don't want to make their day too difficult. Two cases of cryptococcal meningitis, both with possible variations on the theme. The first is an AIDS patient. No surprise there. Cryptococcus is a known manifestation of AIDS. But which cryptococcus? Neoformans? Could be. Gattii? Maybe. This century, Vancouver Island was colonized by Cryptococcus gattii, and in a spectacular failure of homeland security, the yeast has been moving south from Canada into the Great Pacific Northwest. But the patient has been in the U.S. for 6 years, having been born and raised in Thailand. And there is a third, actually there are over 37 varieties, more than half a Heinz, of cryptococci, but there is a third pathogen in humans in Southeast Asia. In other parts of the world, Cryptococcus neoformans variety grubii. And this is more virulent than neoformans variety neoformans. I half wonder if the patient brought the fungus with her to the United States where it reactivated. There is some data to suggest that Cryptococcus gattii can cause disease years after being acquired. Quote, a total of 24-60% could be linked to C. gattii endemic regions in Brazil, the United States, Africa, and a Vancouver Island outbreak. These observations demonstrate that C. gattii infections can be imported subclinically and can cause infections after being dormant for many years. I have asked the state to see if they can tell if the beast is local or imported, not that it will make any clinical difference, but there is nothing quite as satisfying as the joy of finding things out. It was gattii, not grubii. The other case is a non-HIV case of cryptococcal meningitis. What is curious is that the spinal fluid has 300 white cells, the glucose is 20, the protein is 210, the organism can't be seen on the CSF, and the cryptococcal antigen is a paltry 1-to-1. Not much meningeal involvement, yet she has a 6th nerve paralysis and papilledema on exam. There is more neurologic involvement than one would expect from the CSF parameters, but the MRI suggests cryptococcomas, which would also suggest gattii. Quote, the slow response to therapy is largely because C. gattii infections cause a disproportionate number of cryptococcomas in the brain, up to 30% of cases, and or lung, compared with C. neoformans. But what to do about the physical findings and the increased intracranial pressure? Gamma interferon is suggested by the guidelines in refractory cases, and I wonder if it would be beneficial in those with autoantibodies against gamma interferon. I will have to suggest that diagnosis to the usual infectious disease doc on Monday. Should I give steroids? It's tempting, but there is little data. Clinical outcomes were reviewed in 4 patients with Cryptococcus gattii central nervous system infection who received dexamethasone for the treatment of persisting mental status abnormalities and focal brain lesions, despite culture-negative spinal fluid and the management of intracranial pressure. Favorable clinical responses were observed in 3 patients. Although corticosteroids are not recommended for the treatment of cryptococcal meningitis, these observations suggest that dexamethasone should be further evaluated in this subset of patients. End of quote. For good or ill, I am the weekend guy, so I can stir up the pot, but it will be up to my poor colleagues to taste the stew. I just have to remember to get follow-up. The patient was given steroids and actually did quite well. The multiple rationalizations for this gobbet of pus. PLOS Pathology, April 2011. Low-diversity Cryptococcus neoformans variety Grubii multi locus sequence types from Thailand are consistent with an ancestral African origin. The Journal of Clinical Microbiology, February 2011. Most cases of cryptococcal meningitis in HIV-unaffected patients in Vietnam are due to a distinctly amplified fragment-length polymorphism-defined cluster of Cryptococcus neoformans variety Grubii VN1. Emerging Infectious Diseases, October 2012. Acanthinus and dormant Cryptococcus gaudii infections in Europe. Clinical Infectious Diseases, February 2010. Clinical Practice Guidelines for the Management of Cryptococcal Disease, 2010 update by the Infectious Disease Society of America. New England Journal of Medicine, August 2012. Adult onset immunodeficiency in Thailand and Taiwan. Transcripts of the Royal Society of Tropical Medical and Hygiene, January 1997. The effect of corticosteroids on visual loss in Cryptococcus neoformans, variety gaudii meningitis. AIDS, June 2012. Adjunctive interferon gamma immunotherapy for the treatment of HIV-associated cryptococcal meningitis, a randomized trial. And finally, the August 2009 Clinical Infectious Diseases. Dexamethasone in Cryptococcus gaudii central nervous system infection. That is a lot of references. And you can get them on the website. Remember that I do this 2 to 3 times a week over at Medscape, where I write the new versions of the Gobbet of Pus, in my blog, Rubor, Dolor, Kalor, Tumor. Otherwise, go to edgydoc.com or iTunes and write me glowing reviews. And talk to you later. Bye.